Gearing up for Dometic. Enjoy the great outdoors with all the comforts of home with Dometic.
It's time for gearing up for Dometic. Enjoy the great outdoors with all the comforts of home.
Gwayne Blake joins me this morning, professional fishing angler and one of our Salt Guide and Real Adventures regular contributors. Good morning, Gwayne.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Going well. Now, you aren't too far away from heading to Mallacoota, but for Victorian fishos at the moment, there's been a plethora of action, whether it be school tuna, huge sharks offshore at the moment. What's taken your fancy the last few weeks? Because the options are limitless at the moment.
Yeah, so for me personally, I've just sort of had my head down and bum up with charters and working with guides. So I've mainly concentrated on whiting and gummy sharks. But like I said just before, I'm heading away with a group of mates for a holiday down at Mallacoota, and the prime thing is going to be targeting kingfish. And then we're hoping, you know, Mallacoota is a really good base. We can go an hour each way chasing the kings, and we're keeping an eye on those water temperatures and currents, and we might even head up towards, you know, Burmy or something for a marlin too. But the prime focus is on kingfish.
So often when we have you on, you talk about water temperature and the ideal ranges. What are the temperatures that you look for that you then say, yep, today or this week is the right time to start putting in big hours on the kingfish? Because for so many people, they're such a frustrating fish to chase because you put in so many hours, but quite often the rewards don't always come.
Yeah, that's correct. So anything from start of the season from 17.5 and above is good. So at the moment, we've probably had one of the warmest water temperatures we had for probably about 3 years. I've found 19.5 degrees off rye already this season. That was just this week. So the temperature's there, but it doesn't seem to be too many bait fish coming inshore yet. And I think it's to do with all these big easterly blows we get, and it's holding the bait further out. So once you get into sort of 45 to 60 metres of water, there's heaps of bait, and that's where all the tuna and stuff are. But this is making it harder for kingfish, and the kingfish are popping up, and then you know, they're in an area for a day or two because it's not their traditional areas. So they're out wide on the bait, and then they're coming back down again. So for the guys that are targeting the tuna, have stick baits ready because the kings are in amongst them. And it's just, I reckon we'll find that next month in February, weather pattern's going to settle down. It's just a bit slower this year, and all those kingfish and the bait will move inshore, and we'll have, you know, consistent bite of kingies.
When it comes to kingfish, we talk about water temperatures. It starts to warm up. One of the other byproducts of that slightly warmer water temperature has been some really good-sized mako sharks. When you talk to people around guiding and the best way to target big offshore makos, what are you looking for? What are the conditions you're looking for? Is it a time of year? Is it particular baits? What's the best advice you can give to anglers out there?
So I'm looking for all the wildlife that's going to associate the big enough food source to hold those big makos. So the tuna's a really good one. And obviously, and not many people think about it, I shouldn't say obviously, but small dolphins. The big makos, a lot of the big ones caught in Victoria over that sort of 200 kilos actually have small dolphins inside their stomach contents. So at the moment, there's an abundance of dolphins straight out the front of Western Port and down towards Cody Bank. So that's the two areas I'd be targeting big makos, or otherwise out wide off Bowen Heads in amongst where those tuna are. And you'll find that they're more active in the afternoon. That's when the tuna get more active and the makos will be more active as well.
You're listening to Real Adventures. Our special guest this morning is Gwayne Blake, one of Salt Guide's professional fishing anglers, but he also operates independently as a professional fishing guide. So you can jump aboard Gwayne's Stabycraft, his 1850, and take a small group out on his boat or there is the opportunity where he'll come on board and talk you through how to fish for, how to set up your boat to target the species of fish that you want to target, but you spend plenty of time on the water and don't often catch. Now, Gwayne, we've got a few questions that we often get sent into our Real Adventures socials, and I'm going to fire them your way this morning, and
yep,
you'll do your best to answer them. Well, we'll start off with Cameron. Gwayne, how much time do you put into sounding out new terrain to fish? Do you consider it a waste of time? Or is sounding out bottom and new bottom worth investing in?
Yeah, I do it all the time, to be honest, Pat. I've got the Garmin set up. So with Garmin, you're using quick draw contours. So I find that going out and mapping new areas is really helpful. And obviously, with my guiding service, there's no point just me jumping on your boat and taking you straight to a mark and we catch fish and we're done. The whole idea is to teach the customer how I go about hunting down targeting species. So, in fact, the last thing I ever do is go to one of my, you know, traditional good marks, because that's my backup. So pretty much every time we go out, we go about that, setting up the sounder, finding the area, bait presentations, and then obviously targeting that species.
You mentioned it off the top of the show, your trip to Mallacoota. This is on the back of that, or perhaps beforehand. Is Mallacoota the only place to target really big kingfish?
To be honest, Mallacoota, I don't catch big kingies there. It's more multiple numbers of kingfish. So it's a good place to go and enjoy a bit of a laugh with multiple hookups with your mates. Tag quite a lot of fish as well. Targeting big kingies, there's probably three or four areas in Victoria that consistently has big kingfish. One would, if you start down the west coast, it'd be Julia Percy, big reef off Apollo Bay. Late season in the Rip, so March, April in Port Phillip Heads, or down at the Glennie Island group off Wilson's Prom. They're probably your four biggest areas to target big kings.
Pete Stephen, would you chase swordfish in Claxton? For those of you that aren't aware, Gwayne runs an 1850 Staby craft. It's an absolute ripper. Its name is Claxton. But would you fish offshore and serious offshore for swordfish in it, Gwayne?
Not a problem. That's probably one of the main reasons I've just purchased a block of land down at Mallacoota. We're building a house this year down there. I will be spending autumns chasing swordfish and kingfish out of Mallacoota. And it's probably the closest point to the shelf, so it's a shorter distance run. But Claxton, I can do nearly 120 kilometres of 60 litres of fuel. So it's a very economical boat and it's very easy to target swords out of.
Is that the balance between, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's a 135 Mercury that you're running on Claxton?
Yep.
So the difference between that on an 18-foot boat versus, you know, a six-metre fiberglass where you're running a 200 or a 250, the economical value is pretty substantial.
Yeah, and it goes across the board. So you're talking about a smaller, cheaper trailer. It's going to be cheaper to tow around the coast, so I can drop and go anywhere with one or two mates. So that makes it more viable. It's easier to launch by yourself and retrieve by yourself. And then I'm running at around 2.2 to 2.4 kilometres per litre, where the bigger boats are back to that 1.7 to 1.3.
I like this.
So that's where it's all at.
I like this next question from Steve. Why did Gwayne and Aaron choose the boats they chose? Would he or Aaron go bigger? Now, fishermen always talk about, I need a bigger boat, I need a bigger boat. Would you look at a bigger boat, or is this something that, you know, we've had you on often before, and you've spoken about the ease of trailering it, the ease of putting it in your garage. Is it something you'd look at? I mean, fishing is what you do.
Yeah, look, obviously there's days where it's not as comfortable as the other boats getting there. But once you're fishing in the 1850, it's probably more stable, more comfortable than a hell of a lot of the other boats. But it's never out of the picture. It depends where I actually want to go with chartering. Obviously, if you get a bigger boat, you can go further, you can get a couple more customers on board. But for me, for personal style fishing, it probably ticks all the boxes. I probably wouldn't mind pushing out to 6.2 meters, and that comes back to your sounding. With a longer boat, you don't rock up and down as much in the troughs in amongst the bays, and it becomes better for your sounding quality of, you know, sounding up fish, yep, particularly snapper. But I mean, that's just starting to get selfish for only, you know, 3 months of the year, so it depends what I want to do.
Gwayne, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll be chatting with Gwayne every few weeks. He'll give us his Salt Guide report. He'll talk about Western ports and also different parts of the state. Thanks for your time this morning, Gwayne.
Thanks, mate. And I'll send you some smoked kingfish later in the month.
Gwayne Blake, one of Salt Guide's professional fishing anglers. He also operates independently as a professional fishing guide. If you want to learn more about Gwayne's services, make sure you head to Gwayne Blake and his Instagram page. It's got all the info you need to know about what Gwayne offers as a professional fishing guide.
Gearing up for Dometic. Always stay relaxed and hydrated wherever your adventure takes you with Dometic's rugged drinkware.